The Visionary Health Podcast.
Hi, Sybil. How are you?
Hi. Well, hi. I'm fine. Thank you.
Again, you're in Koh Samui.
Oh, yes.
So today we're talking about cancer and women's health, and let's just get right into it. I was wondering, what is the most prevalent cancer that women have to deal with?
Well, the most prevalent cancer is, of course, the breast cancer I want to talk about today. We have a lot of other cancers, of course, in women, from endometrial cancer, cervical cancer, and ovarian cancer. And, of course, all the cancers can be related to men and women, like colorectal cancer, lung cancer, or skin cancer. But the main for women is the breast cancer, because it's... our breast is a symbol of our femininity, so it's for the women is the most frightening to get a breast cancer. So let's talk about this today.
Yeah, okay. So, like, what causes? Do we know what causes it?
Like, yeah, there's a. Of course, you can have some risk factors. For example, genetic mutation where you're born with. We have two genes for breast cancer related to breast cancer or ovarian cancer. Of course, it's a lot of talk about lifestyle. It's we have in our books, in our school books, it's written when you get your first menstruation very early and come to menopause very late, then you are influenced by hormones in a long span of your lifetime, so maybe this could cause a cancer. Overweight is always a risk for cancer in every field, not for only for breast cancer. Diabetes is a risk factor, and of course, poor lifestyle when you do no exercise, have a lot of stress in your life. Some of the things you can control, like doing exercise, take care of your lifestyle, of your diet or everything, and some things we cannot control, like a gene mutation, and of course, because of our poor food, whether the ingredients in food become less from vitamins, or we are, influenced by heavy metals or something. It's in our environment, in the air and everything, yeah.
Right, toxic metals or heavy metals.
Yes.
So there's no one reason. Anybody that gets it could have different reasons because of the reasons that they've got it.
This is the same thing. You cannot say this is the only reason and you cut it out of your life. There are a lot of reasons. It's always multi-reason, yeah, something.
What about family history? How does that play into it? Is it? It doesn't mean that just because your mother had it, you'll have it, does it?
No, that's not. But when you have in your family, you have like your grandmom, your aunt, your sister, your mom, then of course you have to think about this gene mutation. It's called BRCA 1 and 2. You can check for this with testing, of course. And also then it's not, of course, 100% that you get breast cancer or ovarian cancer. These both in this gene mutation are close together. But then you have to check yourself more. And it's also in some families without a gene mutation that when your grandmother have it, you have to be more aware to go for screening or something like this. Yeah. But it also comes to everybody.
Yeah, I want to talk about the screening in a minute, but I was just wondering, like, if someone, you mentioned ovarian cancer as well, and I had read somewhere a while ago that there's a risk that if someone has breast cancer, tell me if I'm right with this, there's a risk if someone has breast cancer, they could at some point also get ovarian cancer. Is that right, that it's linked in some way?
Definitely if there's a link with this mutation, yeah, when you have a mutation, but if you have not, it's not really clear, but then there seems to be a risk also to get ovarian cancer. But till now, as I know, there is no, without this gene mutation, there is no link we have evidence for. Yeah.
And there's, go on.
No, but it's good, of course, for women. And I know that women be a little bit more aware than men. I think so. I'm a gynecologist. of their health, so they go to screening. And it's not only about breast, we can talk later about it. It's always a whole body check. And then, of course, you check on different things on as a gynecologist, so that you have a whole picture of the women, not only focus on the breast, of course.
Right, okay. So you look at everything, but with breast cancer, if you have breast cancer, say in like your 20s or your 30s, and you're saying that it could, like, people could also get ovarian cancer, they could get it at the same time, or could it be like years later that it's like this link? It could be like the time frame.
I cannot answer this question. Okay. So also in young women, breast cancer, it becomes more common, sadly, but it's normally very rare. You have the highest point of breast cancers after the 50s. Yeah. So this is from aging or something. And of course, you have women when you have this gene mutation, or other things, very young with breast cancer. But you cannot say that then they will get in 1 month, 1 year, or wherever, ovarian cancer. This is absolute not clear.
It's not clear. Okay. And so there's no exact, like you said there before, that with the age, what's the most prevalent age for someone with breast cancer? Is it, you said the people in their 20s due to the genetic marker? You're speaking. You go ahead.
In my career as a gynecologist and working in the breast cancer center, the number of young women is less. The highest peak of breast cancer, and that's why the screening is also in this age in Germany and worldwide, is from the middle of the 40s, from the 50s, up to the end of life, that you can get breast cancer or other cancer. This is related to aging, because our body, our immune system, our self-healings, we are aging, and this self-healing system is aging too. So it's become a little bit more weak over the time. I don't want to make a compare to a machine, but it's like, when you use our body all the time, you have to care for it, but it's aging. It's a normal process. And then also cancer cells can pop up, because it's self-healing, that we repair damages on the cells, become a little bit more slow. So that is the highest peak, or the normal age for breast cancer is in the older age, from the
end of the 40s. Does that mean that as people get older, there's more prevalence for breast cancer? So if someone in their 40s, there's more people in their 50s getting it, there's more people in their 60s getting their 50s, there's more people in their...
Yes. But the highest peaks is between 50 and 60. I cannot say why. Okay. Maybe it's caused to menopause or whatever, but it is. And that's why the screening program, and for the screening, we just use a mammogram. It's recommended everywhere that you start at the end of the 40s. In Germany, it's 50 up to 70 to do it every second year, because then you have the highest peak. But this is, of course, not the only thing to check on the breast. Yeah.
Right. And this is something that's, just occurred to me. I was also wondering about external, and I remember we spoke in a different podcast about the same issue with breast implants. Like, there's some fears. Sometimes people have fears, and I'm not sure if they're founded or unfounded, but whether that can cause breast cancer or has an effect on it.
Normally not. Normally, when you use high quality implants, you will not become breast cancer because of this material.
Right.
But there are some links, not really know. I think the most dangerous is when you have an implant, you cannot, you have an implant behind the tissue, the normal tissue and everything. Maybe you cannot see it really well when you do. You can do also mammogram, also with an implant, or MRI or whatever. Maybe it's more difficult, because at the end, one of the doctors, me or somebody, have to check on the pictures we make, if it is an X-ray, sonographic, whatever, to see everything. And of course, the bigger the breast, or when there is an implant inside, it becomes more difficult for us to do really check on it.
Oh, so it actually becomes, because the implant's there, it makes it harder to actually see anything. And that's, is that yes. where the risk is? Oh, yes. Okay. And I know that we also asked the question before about just bras, different bras. Does that affect, I think it was someone asked the question about underwire bras. Does that
they have an say impact? You have this, yeah, then you have this metal, this, with the metal, the bras, where you have, I cannot explain in English, sorry.
No, but I this could
affect, there are so many, not rumors, but there are so many opinions about it, but also on this, on different bras, wearing a bra or wearing not a bra, wearing a bra overnight or not, or whatever, there is no scientific evidence that this caused breast cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's good, I guess. And so you talked about screening before. The screening, what's the different types of screening that's available?
What's so for the most common screening recommend by government and our scientists to do the mammogram. The mammogram every second year from starting from the end of the 40s. In Germany, it's from 50 to 70. But with the mammogram, it's an X-ray where you press the breast very strong to see everything. And you can see a lot, but you cannot see every tumor just with X-ray. So normally, I would always recommend when you have it in your family, just that somebody had cancer before, also to make a palpation of the breast. The gynecologist can do it. And make an ultrasound, because there are some tumors you cannot see in an X-ray, you just see an ultrasound. And also the other way, some like calcification or something you cannot see through ultrasound, you have to do a mammogram. So in Germany, in the breast cancer center, we put all together. Yeah, when a woman came to me, I checked the breast by seeing it, because you can see also difference just on when you have the experience, just how the skin looks like, or is there a little scar or something look different. Then of course of the palpation, you have some tumors you can't palpate, maybe the women themselves before, then doing an ultrasound, check the breast, and then doing the mammogram and put it all together to have a really good overview. But of course, this is logistical for screening every woman from the 40s and the 40s or 50s is difficult. Yeah, so that's why every woman have to be aware to check herself. Also, awesome when something coming, little blood spots or coming out of the nipple or something. These are all things you have to be aware of.
Yeah. And so, when they're like doing a self check. Any changes in the way the breast feels that should get them to the hospital? They should go, or not the hospital, but to their doctor to investigate it?
Yes, I would do this. When you're still in your reproductive cycle, you will have it always at the end of the cycle before the menstruation starts, that the breast become a little bit painful because the gland inside is growing before the period comes. And you maybe it feels a little bit unregular. But when you feel insecure, better come and check it. When you feel or you see difference in the skin of your breast, like changing the color or looking like the skin becoming more like an orange, so with these bigger pores, it's called pores, like you have in the face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
when
yeah,
you see
yeah.
something like this, or a retraction of skin or the nipple or something, then please come, doctor, have to check it.
So any changes really that you notice, you should probably get checked out. Okay. What about, like, is there any, like, how old are these tests? Like, I remember, like, as a kid, and, you know, I'm not young anymore, I would hear about mammograms, whether it be through television or, you know, news or whatever, the government telling, you know, people that they have to go and have a mammogram done. And that's, so I know that's quite an old testing procedure. In fact, I remember
I don't know exactly, but I think these mammogram screening is around now 20 years or 15 years. Yeah, the world become more and more aware of women cancer, of breast
yeah.
cancer. And
yeah.
So then it all started.
Yeah. Well, are there any sort of testing new testing techniques on the horizon that will be better that are coming on, or do you know of anything?
It's difficult. With a screening, for example, with a mammogram, you also have false positive. You can make really stress on women when you check, and then you say, oh, there is something, I'm not really sure, and then the whole machine started. It stresses everybody when you're afraid that you have a cancer. With a newer test, like with circulation tumor cells we can find in the blood or other markers or tumor markers, is also good. But then when you have them positive, you also start the machine for checking where is this cancer. There is not that you have a test that you see, okay, this is breast cancer. Yeah. But now with the newer cancer, you can see there are changes in the blood cells who say there might be a cancer or there is a cancer somewhere. But then you also have to do, of course, mammogram or CT scan or something. Yeah. But of course, it's much easier, and a lot of women are afraid to get a mammogram because it's painful sometimes when you press a breast like this.
And if someone is diagnosed with cancer through these testing procedures, what's typically their next step? Like, what could someone expect to have to do, have to go through?
So when we found a suspect node by mammogram or sonogram or whatever, then normally the first step is to diagnose it by a biopsy. You make with a little needle, take a little thing out of this tumor and check it if it is a cancer or not. And if it's yes, then you have to start the procedure. So normal procedure is when you have a smaller tumor, and you check everything like lung and bones and liver, and you see for luck there is no metastasis anywhere, you will discuss with the women first the operation. This could be that you just take out the tumor and the first lymph nodes from the axilla who are connected with this tumor, because when this tumor starts to spread, it can be also in the lymph nodes. And when you see this first, we call it, I don't know the English name. It's like soldier lymph nodes. The first one, when the cancer cells spread from the breast, they will do to the axilla in these first lymph nodes. And when you take them out and then they are free, our opinion is then there's nothing in the body, just in the breast. So when you take out just a tumor from the breast, you can make a good reconstruction of the breast, that you will not see anything later that you cut something out of the breast. Totally different, of course, from an amputation.
Right.
And after this, you have much more material to check on, and you can check on how big was the cancer, different characteristics, if there are some hormone receptors, if there are some other receptors. And then, because it's not enough for breast cancer just to take out the tumor from the breast, however you do it, we know cancer is always a whole body situation. So you have to care in the whole body, because it could be, as I told with the new screening test, that there are some sleeper cells, circulating tumor cells somewhere. And that's why you have something more to go with, like a police to your whole body. This could be, of course, chemotherapy, and this could be like an anti-hormone therapy, or you get other targeted therapies. So you have different characteristics, or you can have on tumor cells for breast cancer. Some have receptors for hormones, the normal female hormone, estrogen or progesterone. If you have this on the tumor cells, you can do an anti-hormone therapy, because every hormone in the body, and also when you're in menopause, your fat under the skin produce estrogens. And when they connect with a tumor cell, it could be an activator for growing more. And one of the therapies, it has nothing to do with chemotherapy, is an anti-hormone therapy. You give it over years, and then every cell around, tumor cell around with these special receptors, is blocked by this anti-hormone therapy, and will die. And there are other characteristics on the tumor cells. It's called different receptors, have nothing to do with the hormones. But also for this, you can get target therapy. So every tumor cell running around with these special receptors is catched by this target therapy. And of course, you have also the radiation. From the school medicine, we know when you just take out the tumor out of the breast and you let the healthy breast tissue there on this side, it's better, in our school medicine opinion, to make radiation on this breast, that it's like a clearing up. Because long time ago, when there was just taking out the tumor, doing nothing else, the recurrence of tumor is more. So the normal pillars for breast cancer is to make an operation and then do some things. You can combine it all together, or you just pick up what fits to the tumor characteristic, to doing something like a whole body treatment. Chemotherapy, of course, it's hard and has so many side effects that nobody wants to do it, really. And anti-hormone therapy or target therapy. So this is the normal pillars a woman will be confronted with.
Okay. And then, like, when you're going through that, I imagine that, you know, it obviously has an effect on your mental well-being. Or, I mean, different people respond to things differently. What would someone typically, like, what do people usually go through? What sort of thoughts do they usually have, and how do they deal with them? How can they deal with them? I know you're not a psychologist, but...
Yeah, but so... When I have the ambulance in the breast cancer center, and you know you have to talk with the women and give him the first time the diagnosis that they have cancer. It's also hard for a doctor because you didn't learn this in university, and you have to tell women that their life is in danger. So there are different reactions first time. Some just stop talking. Some people are crying. Some people are screaming and become very angry on you or the doctor, because you are the one giving the diagnosis. And then it's so important just to let them in this situation, but then start that is not everything lost. And it takes an hour, because you see it's going one ear in and the other information you give and one ear out. So that's why it is so hard to work in a normal clinic. Of course, there's the time management. You just have 10 minutes. Then you have to let the patient go. But on this first time, it's so important to repeat and repeat and repeat again what you found. Let the women cry or scream or whatever, but then start again and maybe make another appointment. So you have different reactions. And I think nobody can really imagine when he never was confronted himself with a diagnosis of cancer, because then